what persecutions I endured, and out of all of them the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecutions. He knew that. He just made a short reference to some of the things that he had suffered while he was there, and he realized that we have to live godly and suffer these things and endure them. Go over to chapter 4 there, another section there that we're more familiar with, because it's when he's addressing Timothy and telling him about, you know, his days are winding down. He says in chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, finally, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not only to me, but also those who love his appearing." He had that hope. You can tell by his words, this was not a guy of regret. This was not a letter of regret. He said, "I fought the good fight." He had applied his life and his purpose in life to something that was good. "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept that faith." He has endured, in other words. There was no looking back for him. Points also made in Matthew 24, and then we'll back up in that same letter to Timothy here in just a minute. But Matthew 24 and verse 13, Christ said, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." We have to have this endurance, this stick-to-itiveness that we sometimes refer to. In Hebrews 10 and 36, Hebrews 10:36, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Our promise that we have to us through God is going to require our endurance to make to the end. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy. And back up a little bit before we started there a minute ago. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, where he makes this very point for us. "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." We see the point here that we're making of this. We have to endure. Paul he endured all this, and he never saw any note of regret at all to him. He was such a good example for us. He dwelled, as we mentioned early on in our introduction, he was dwelling on the fact of his forgiveness, his hope that he had in Christ, his peace of mind, his approval of God, the hope that he had of glory. He gave up a lot, but he knew what he was looking forward to was so much more important. And to finish up our thoughts on Paul and his example to us, go to Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He said there, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We've read this many times. I know last week Ray and Chris and I were standing over here talking, and I was telling them, until I started this study and went back, I've missed so much from this very scripture that we often read from. Paul says here that he's learned to be content in whatever state he is. He's not looking for these physical things that are rewards, physical signs that the world looks for as far as his blessedness. He doesn't look for gain like that. And we see that, and he says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. And a lot of times I think in my past studies, I locked in on that. And I studied and I applied it so much in my mind that I know how to be abased. You know, I know how to be hungry. I know how to do with all these things that are not. But that's only half of what Paul's telling us in his scripture. If you go back and look at this, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. He says, everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. He's given us two lessons here. Both to abound and to suffer needs. You know, we can make a great application of that, of a thought that I never really had. I always thought when I studied this about how we're to be content with what we have, and always thinking that doing without some things. But Paul makes the good point here, and we need to take a good point of it. We live in a country where we are bathed in extra. I mean, we have far more than our needs. America is more apt to fall to their being abound and their being full and their having no need than they are into falling into a state where they need. So we need to learn from Paul. Not only is he a good example on how to live when you don't have a lot physically, but he's a great example on how we have to live also if we're blessed with a lot. Because we can fall to that materialism just as fast as we can fall to anything else. So that's a great scripture when I got into that we was thinking about. So much more to that teaching. We know Paul dwelled on good things because of that Philippians 4 that we just read in verses 8 and 9. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, he's telling us what he dwells on. That's why he's blessed. He's not dwelling on negatives. He says they're just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, him being an example, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul had it figured out. He knew. You dwell on these things. Dwell on the good things. Don't let the negativity of the world make you soured and make you bitter. Anybody got anything on that? That's question 7 we want to add. Question 8. I think we'd be amiss if we didn't kind of apply this to the world. Where does the world expect to find this blessedness? We've briefly mentioned that they look for it in physical rewards is where they seek blessedness at. But they seem to seek these circumstances, these good things that happen to them when they do something physically and not through their character. They're missing the whole teaching of these Beatitudes that are building our character and not things that are rewarding us physically. We're looking at what causes us to be that new man that changes us, that transforms us to the likeness of God. That's the things that we're concerned with. They get blindsided into looking for things that are of a benefit to them physically in this world. Feedback, physical feedback, carnal rewards. And when you look for things that are physical as a reward or an indicator to you that you're doing things right, you start to take on this self-seeking attitude because you're trying to get these good things to come to you. You start serving self. You start working to get things for yourself, and it builds a selfish, self-centered person. Carnal means, or prosperity, I guess you could say, and not spiritual means or what they're busy about. Look at some of the physical. When you see the signs when you drive around, I know we all do. You see them and you hear them on the radio and you hear other people talking about them in the denominations where they're busy about these physical acts. You know, health fairs, social things that they're involved in, entertainment, athletics, all that kind of stuff. You see all that when you go around. But that's what they're judging by. They're judging by things that will benefit them by doing all this, and that's not what we're here for. That's not what we're to seek. They're babes, I guess you could say, or weak, which brings up another thought. If you're judged by carnal reward, it's because of immaturity. It's because you're seeking things of the world. You've not matured spiritually to where you know where to look for your spiritual rewards. Babes are weak. They ask that question, what does it benefit me? We've all raised kids. We've been around kids when they're very young. If you ask them for anything, what are they going to tell you? What they want. What benefits them. They don't want to eat good things. They want to eat what they want. You know, you've got to help them because they're young. They can't protect themselves. They can't provide for themselves. They can't make the decisions that are important for them or worthy of them. So you have to help them with that. Hebrews 5. He says here, the Hebrew writer says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. These are immature people. These are immature spirits. 13 says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the world of righteousness, for he is a babe. A babe is one that's immature, that's going to be looking for these physical signs as right and wrong instead of spiritual. 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They've matured to the point they can discern. They can protect themselves spiritually. They know they've come to a point in life that they don't need help, that they can look out for themselves. Brings up a good point in CL's class that he had the other night. This growth that we have to have is for our own protection because we're vulnerable without it. If we don't grow, then we become vulnerable to anything and everything that comes along, like we just read about. We can be easily thrown about. 1 Corinthians 3, another good example of where they were warned. The Corinthians were when Paul wrote them. First three verses there. And brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, that's worldly, as to babes in Christ. They were not mature, they were babes. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? That's the point that Paul is making to them. You weren't able to have these weightier matters. You weren't able to mature on in to the status and the ability to protect yourselves, to provide for yourselves, and it leaves you vulnerable, able to fall to everything that comes along, every whim that's brought before them. Ephesians. Four. Verses 13-15. It says, till we all come, talking about the purpose of the gifts, but it's making the same point. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're to try for. That's our goal. That we, because so we aren't, no longer children. We'll be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to Him who is head, Christ. We've got to grow up, or we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to this trickery. We're vulnerable to all these things. We have to have it. I thought the other day when in Donnie's lesson, when he brought up Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12 there about that complacency, I thought, man, that's just, that is spot on. You know, every now and then I told him, I said, that's why I love to study, is because you'll run across these verses like that and you'll think, oh, that's perfect. That makes the perfect point. How God feels about complacency. You know, we can talk about lukewarm and being spewed out. We've got a lot of things that we can talk about that we have other places. But to me, that one verse really just made it so clear how God feels about complacency or just indifference. And He is not happy with that. So unity and stability and maturity are all going to unity are all going to depend on this maturity. We have to have it for our protection. Let's talk about some of the individuals and where they look for it. I was thinking about that in this lesson, and they look for artificial means of contentment, individuals do, because they're babes. They don't realize they've never been fed and grown in spiritual matters. They'll look for the physical things like we've been talking about, and it often takes them to dangerous things of where they look for blessedness or happiness. Immoral actions like gambling. You see the world fall into gambling. They're looking for happiness. It's something that gives them pleasure. And they sit there and they get into it, and it's a cycle that feeds on itself, that consumes them and ruins them many times. A big one that we don't talk enough about is pornography, because it is everywhere. It is in our face. It is now coming on TV practically in front of us. And a huge percentage, when you look at the stats of, just take men for example in the United States, regularly do that. When you talk to these child predators, when you talk to these sexual predators, you find out when you do their history and go back with them that they started out with pornography. They started out with this kind of stuff and desired something a little stronger, something a little stronger. Sounds familiar, don't it? Sounds like drug addiction, don't it? Sounds like alcoholism. It's no different. It gets a grip, and people, it feeds on you. You have to take care of that. But that's some of the places that they look for happiness or they look for satisfaction in. Artificial stimulants, drugs and drinking. Material possessions. You know, when we do something when we're working in service for God, if we're expecting a material blessing back, we're in the wrong place. And I see you shaking your head. Everybody realizes you've got this all wrong. You've not grown up yet. But you see some who look for that material blessings. And people that are like that, that never grow out of that state, they can't get enough. They get into this same cycle that we feed about. We all know people in the world that buy, 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 buy. Now that new thing, that might bring them happiness for a little while, but it's soon old, isn't it? It's not new very long, and then it's old like everything else they got. They want something else. There we go again. We're right back. A human being is a habitual creation that wants, wants, wants. The more we sleep, the more we want to sleep. The more we rest, the more we won't rest. The more we exercise and run, the more we want it. You see it both ways, how it works. But these material possessions are some of the things that people look to in the world, individuals do, for blessedness or happiness. Power, popularity, praise. A lot of people are driven by that. I didn't understand that until I got into this work. You realize that a lot of people do things that are just for that only, just for power, popularity, and praise. Americans, we talked about that. What a good lesson that Paul gave us in teaching us how to be abound and how to be without, in need. Well, Americans are expected to find their happiness in circumstances or a standard of living. They're looking for a standard of living. They're not looking for a standard of character, which is what our beautiful attitudes are all about. They're about a standard of character, a new man, a transformed man into what God wants us to be. But the world is interested in a certain standard of living. Our society, I think you'd agree, and I don't want to get on this because I could go on it and it's not a good thing to dwell on, but our society is reflecting more and more problems. Christ reminded us of that in John 16:33 there. And it's not good for us. It's of the world. It's not good at all for us. Let's get his exact words. We read a while ago from John. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. That was the point that we were making earlier. But the flip side of that is, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. What comes over that? What overcomes that? He does. We overcome all that through Him. That's what we need to remember. Our society is getting sicker and sicker, and the farther that it pulls away from God, it's going to get sicker and sicker. We can't look to the world for things. We can't look for the world to determine right and wrong. That's the worst place we can look. You know, they laughed at Jesus and His teachings because they didn't get it. They were young at heart and soul. They were babes in Christ, and a lot of them just didn't get it. They didn't accept Him. They considered it so superstitious and hocus-pocus. But if you think about it, even in America, you look at the notoriety and the recognition and the pedestal that they put, say the Mellons or the Rockefellers or some of those people, what a mark that they make on man and on society. But how much do you hear about the Peters and the Pauls? The ones who really did turn the world upside down and make a difference. The world doesn't look to that. They look for these physical things, these physical rewards. They gauge everything by physical feedback. True happiness is going to rest in what a person is and not what he has. Can't fall into that materialism thing. Need to ask ourselves the question. Last 5 minutes here, we'll do this question number 9, unless somebody's got something they want to add. Has the church failed to get this message? Think about that. There are examples, aren't there? You know, we can stand up here and avoid all compromise. We can work hard. We can guard against false teaching. Put it in its place. We can keep doctrine pure, our practices pure. We can do all these things. And that's all good, and that's all right. But if we allow materialism to come in on us, that's all for naught, because we can fall to materialism just the same. You see it all around us in the world. The congregations who, for the sake of numbers, facilities, buildings, material things, look what happens when they get to working for that. When they start gauging their success of their work for Christ and how they're being blessed with offerings and facilities and nice things, they've lost the fight. They're gone. That's the greatest error of all. We can't do that. That teaches that happiness depends on what we have rather than what we are. That's when you're that way, your pride is not in your relationship to God, but it's in the physical and the nice things that you have. And that's totally wrong, isn't it? We're no longer, when you get into that thing, you're no longer growing Christians. We've never been promised large numbers. You can travel all over, and there's some big congregations, and I feel so great when I go into those, when I travel and hear that great singing and hear all that. and they're faithful congregations, but they're in large populated areas. And when you get out into rural areas, most of the congregations are small. And that's only natural. That's going to happen because we're busy about growing Christians and not growing facilities and growing all these other things. We've got to grow ourselves as Christians. We're not building empires and building big, nice buildings and all this other stuff. That's where we lose our way, isn't it? Where lies your happiness is the question on one of the studies that I looked at. Wherein lies your happiness? I made some notes when I got done of some of the stuff that I wanted to highlight in my own mind. We may have to finish this up next week. We'll do that next week when we come back. Just some things that I took from this introductory study before I started in on the Beatitudes, which we hopefully next week will start on. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Anybody got anything they want to add? Or I know we've used two lessons to do introduction, but still, we'll hit these blessed attitudes and we'll go on, hopefully. Nothing. Thank you.